May only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. Count on it from the Old Testament lesson today. You might remember, maybe you don't, but that in January of 2010, a 7.0 magnitude earthquake hit the island of Haiti. This extremely poor country saw many, many buildings destroyed. But worse than that, there were tens of thousands maimed and killed. As hope for the victims began to fade, a discovery of a single survivor in the wreckage of a grocery store renewed the resolve of many. Maybe there are others. Rescuers pulled out Wisman Exentus, from the rubble 11 days after the quake. Exentus told reporters from his hospital bed that the first thing he wanted to do when he got out of there was to find a church and go and pray and thank God for coming and rescuing him. While buried alive in the rubble, he prayed, he recited Psalms, and he slept. And he summed up his experience this way: "I wasn't afraid because I knew they were searching for me. And I knew they would find me." No, because of sin, our world has become and will become a wreck. Because of sin, the devastation that wars have wrought and will bring, will go on. The world will be a wreck. And natural disasters have produced much devastation and will in the future. Isaiah, in his prophecy, in his vision, earlier in the book, not from where we're taking it today, saw a vision of the Lord coming, a day that is called the Day of the Lord. And the world would be shaken, and people would be scarcer than gold when desolation would rule the day, Isaiah 13. But then, and looking at our text today, Isaiah foresees a great restoration, the coming of God into the world to rescue us. So Isaiah foresees it in Isaiah 35, this incredible renewal. Dry wastelands become green paradise, a veritable return to the Garden of Eden. Withered plants bloom again, dry riverbeds gush with fresh water. People undergo miraculous healings. Isaiah's vision is like a dream. And I don't know how you dream, but things are not always in chronological order, and sometimes my dreams like, what's happening here? And Isaiah's prophecy is like that. Parts of it are not chronological, and they present powerful truths, but they come out in poetic form. So Isaiah foresees total restoration, all the hope and joy centered on the coming of the Messiah, which we know to be Jesus Christ. He's the giver of life, the restorer, the redeemer, the healer, the one who brings his children home. Isaiah saw Jesus, who opened the eyes of the blind, who let the deaf hear, who made the lame to leap and the mute to sing in sheer joy. Here's the thing. Sin, individually and collectively, will continue to wreak havoc, to ruin this world in so many ways. But we have been marked. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And we have, amidst it all, a great joy, a joy of anticipation, but a joy of having the Spirit with us even now. We are in the world, but we're not of it. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We cannot and must not fall in love with this world and its values. We are strangers and aliens. We're like square blocks trying to fit into a round hole. We won't fit because our true hope and joy the world cannot give. Only God can give it to us. We shall not be deceived. This present world and all its pleasures and all its seductions is going to pass away. In the meantime, we will strive not to conform to the evil desires of people all around us. We shall endure. We shall overcome because of our faith, hope, and love in Jesus Christ and the truth that He brings us. We know what is coming in the future. Unlike other people, we know what's coming. And even now, in anticipation of His coming again and rescuing us and restoring all things, we have this joy. There's a competing dream, a vision not from God, actually from the enemy in the hearts of people who spurn God, who reject Jesus as Savior of the world, who don't believe He's coming again. The vision, the dream, is caught up in one single word, and that word is utopia. Utopia. It is a dream of a world without God, where peace and goodwill have no need of Him. It is the Tower of Babel, where man becomes God. And by our own ingenuity and by our own technology, we restore the world, not needing the Lord. And we determine what is right and what is wrong. The Ten Commandments give way to something entirely different, ultimately to accommodate whatever we want to do. Imagine there's no heaven. That's a utopian song John Lennon penned, right? It's really very sad. Oh, I like the song, the tune. Communism represents a desire to build a utopia. The state becomes God, and the state decides what is right and what is wrong. So in Russia, what was the result of this? Gulags and the mass extermination of millions of people. You know, millions died in World War II. But Stalin managed to kill millions of his own people, millions upon millions. In China today, the brand of communism has sent over 1 million Muslim Uyghurs into re-education camps, detention camps, concentration camps. They break up families using brutal methods. China also persecutes Christians, especially those who step out of line of the parameters they have set for the Christian church or any religious body. And those who dare to oppose their state idolatry find themselves in prison and going to re-education camps. In the West, in America, there is a hedonistic utopia promulgated. And anything that stands in the way of our pleasures and our selfish desires is to be eliminated. The result of this has led to the killing of millions of unborn children because it wasn't convenient. We don't have the money. It's what is it anyway? It stands in the way of our life. It's also led to a wholesale acceptance of sexual perversion. The utopian vision is to remove God, Jesus, from what is deemed the public square. You can have your religion, you can have your faith, but keep it very, very private. And don't let it affect anything Keep your values to yourself. Keep them hidden. That's the talk of a different dream, a utopian dream, a godless one. Isaiah's vision of heaven is squashed. And even us Christians have been seduced by putting money and riches and perishable things above our faith in God. The Advent season is a reminder that there is only one utopia that you can believe in and hope for, and that's the kingdom of God. That's the one our Messiah, our Savior, will usher in. It's heaven. All earthly utopias end up in incredible evil and barbarism. Because what is missing is the true love of God. No utopian dream of humanity can succeed. We human beings are flawed and we can't create a perfect world. Only a perfect God can create a perfect world. And that is what Christmas is all about. A child was born in Bethlehem of Judea who will one day rule over all of this new creation. A new heaven, a new earth, heaven itself. And he will rule in perfect love. No longer will we ask, well, what would Jesus do? Because the law, every bit of it, will be written on our hearts. And we will be holy. And love will flow from us. God desires that we have a vision that he implants in us. And it's a vision of glory. That word glory is an important one. In the Old Testament, the word glory literally meant weighty, weighty. It has come to mean something magnificent or beautiful, something that shines with great light, or that one who shines with honor and renown through spectacular achievements. The ultimate glorious one would be Jesus himself. He is the most glorious. Here's what God desires for us. The eyes of our heart may be opened in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us and the riches of his glorious inheritance. The vision of glory, faith, should change us. Thomas Carlyle wrote, he was born a man and died a grocer. Now, he has a different meaning for that memorable phrase than I'm going to give it. We are born simple, flawed human beings with original sin. But we become, by the grace of God, the chosen ones, the elect, the beloved, the children of God, even the glorious ones who have the light shining in their life, in their soul, in their heart. We march to a different drummer. We serve our God. We do good to all because his love is in our hearts. Jesus is the hero of our stories. His glory will shine brightest when it's the bleakest. And it will shine through us. The vision compels us to speak the good news to people. People living in darkness need to see a great light. And at first they can see it through us. And they can come onto that highway that leads to eternal life, the one spoken about by Isaiah. And I was writing this message this morning and in between the different services, I was thinking about my extended family now, how they have bought into the utopia of the world. I'm sure you have relatives as well who don't see the gospel as all that important. And I thought about it as after I preached in the 8 o'clock service. And I thought about how some of my nephews have just decided that the gospel is not as good as what they have in this world. And I thought, what am I going to do about that? Well, I've decided what I'm going to do about it. Since they're not close by, I'm going to write them a letter. Will it do any good? Do you read letters? Some of you do, right? Read letters. They will probably read it. I'm not going to be pessimistic here, but I am in a little bit. They'll read it, and they'll say, he's a preacher. He's a pastor. What do I expect from him, right? Right. But maybe I'll give a copy to their parents. Or if I can figure out who their friends are, I'll send them a copy. I don't know. But this is an addition to my message this morning. The early service, if you tell them about it, they won't hear that. I've entitled this message, Count on It. Count on it, Jesus is coming again. Count on the fact that he has brought the light of the gospel into our lives. Count on it that the kingdom endures forever. Count on it by faith you've been chosen. You're an inheritor of glory. And let this vision and this hope and the light within you endure as you grasp it and cling to it and hold on to it for all your life. In the name of Jesus and to his glory.